Live from Owings Mills, another Purple Report by WNST correspondent Luke Jones.
Eric DaCosta met with the media to discuss Kyle Hamilton's new contract extension and Ravens roster cuts.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for coming out. As you guys all know, it's an extremely busy 48 hours or so for us in scouting. We have a lot ongoing. In fact, probably right now we should find out our players that are getting claimed. That list should be coming out, so I'm actually doing you guys a great service at the expense of myself being here at noon. But I also wanted to announce, and this is going to be fun, that we have reached a four-year contract extension with Kyle Hamilton. Actually just signed it about an hour ago, maybe. Excited about that. Makes him the highest paid safety in the NFL. Well deserved, as you all know. Phenomenal player, phenomenal person, a great leader. Very, very proud of Kyle. Everything he brings to the community, on and off the field, his family. And we think that this really recognizes his impact on our team and in the community. And we're thrilled to get this done and get this off my plate. I also want to thank Nick Matteo, who has been working on this contract for quite some time. Athletes First, Kyle McCarthy, Brian Murphy, those guys, phenomenal job by them as well. So excited about that. Any questions on that?
Eric, did the negotiations with Kyle sort of pick up momentum over the last couple of weeks, or was it really sort of the culmination of a long process? And I guess bigger picture, I mean, do you see him as maybe joining that line of very special names who we see as building blocks of the Ravens?
Well, we started really kind of engaging with Kyle and his group just before we broke on vacation. But I would say that, you know, talks started to heat up about 3 weeks ago. And appreciate, you know, the dialogue that we had with those guys. I think the deal really does speak to how we feel about Kyle. Highest, paid safety in the NFL. That's a responsibility that we don't take lightly. We've had a few players over the years become the highest paid at their position, and I think when you are the highest paid, that's an important distinction. And I think Kyle has proven that he's going to carry that very well, and we expect him to continue to be an impact player on our defense for years to come.
Eric, how happy are you to get this done before the start of the season?
I'm happy. You know, this, I think, as a GM, my job is really to look at the short term of the team and build the best team we can, but also to look out in the future and look at what the team's going to look like in 2026 and 2028 and 2030. So anytime you can take one of your very best players and get them to sign a long-term contract extension, I think is a great thing. I know Steve Bisciotti is very happy about it. I think it's a great day for the Ravens, a great day for Kyle, and a great day for the fans.
Eric, from where the defense started last season to how you guys finished being one of the best secondaries in the NFL, what role did Kyle play in that? And what about that sort of transformation of secondary maybe gave you some insight into his value to this team?
Well, I think one of the things you love about Kyle is he's just kind of a unicorn. He can do many different things. He does them all very well. He can be used in a lot of different positions. We've had to move him around quite a bit. You know, I wouldn't say that really the improvement of our defense was strictly tied to Kyle last year, but he made it easier for us to put players in different positions. You know, I think our coaches did a phenomenal job last year making adjustments as well, and I think guys stepped up, and I think you'll see that continue as we get going into the regular season this year as well. Yeah, I think those are ongoing. I like to work kind of in the dark, quietly, and try and get as much done as we can. We've got a lot of different things going on. We've got a lot of really good players. It's a blessing and a curse, right? And so we do a pretty good job drafting. And so that means we've got players that deserve to be paid well, and we're trying to keep those guys, knowing that, as I've said 1,000 times, we can't keep everybody, And so, unfortunately, you're going to see some good players probably in the next couple of years play for other teams. We've seen that. That's going to be something that continues. Back in 2019, we really kind of said we were going to try and keep as much of our talent as we could. We've tried to do that, but we are in a salary cap league, and so that's the reality. We'll try to get as creative as possible. I think Nick Mattio does a great job helping, you know, being proactive, looking at these deals, staying on top of trends and things like that, trying to be as aggressive as possible throughout the year to bring our players back. It takes two to tango, certainly. We'll continue to be aggressive, but we also understand that at some point we're going to see some good players leave.
Eric, specifically, I know there's a lot of tension, especially with the Lamar situation, where his cap number goes, you know, over 70 next year. Is there anything you can tell us about where that stands with Lamar?
Probably not. You know, I appreciate the question, but I think it's good to keep these kind of things with the players and, you know, these business things as quiet as possible. And that'll continue to be the way we operate, generally speaking. I really wouldn't want to get into any specifics in regards to any of our players and their contract negotiations right now, because I think it hurts the process. So, here we are, kind of segue into the roster. Very, very tough decisions this year, again, which speaks to, I think, the amount of talent we feel like we've got on the roster. Emotional day yesterday, tough decisions to make. You know, as you all know, we kept three undrafted guys on defense. Excited about those three guys. And what I would say is that those guys clearly seized the opportunity every single day. They earned it. Didn't go into this training camp, this really time of the year expecting three undrafted guys to make it. It hasn't happened in a long time. I think our defense was pretty talented. As you guys can look across and see, we have a lot of talent. So for three guys to make it speaks to what those young men did. Very excited about them. Very excited about the team that we have in place. We'll be in the process of getting our practice squad signed in the next 2 hours. I would expect that we're going to lose some guys just based on the amount of phone calls that we've received over the last 2 or 3 days about the roster, about our players. We investigated some trades. Nothing came to fruition, unfortunately. But we feel really strong about the roster. We're balanced, 25 on offense, 25 on defense, along with the three specialists. And we're relatively healthy, which also makes it's a great situation, but it also makes it tougher sometimes with the roster because you don't have the ability to just put a guy on injured reserve and then keep somebody else and then stash that guy essentially until he becomes healthy. We weren't faced with that situation this year, which is good, but it also meant that we were going to have to cut some talented young players. Questions?
Eric, you guys have kind of become the poster organization for having undrafted guys make the team. How does that keep happening?
Well, I think we've got a great process that, you know, when you've been together 30 years or 25 years or 20 years, you have a chance to really kind of build on something. And I go back to my first and second year, guys like Priest Holmes made it. Lionel Dalton was another guy I can think of. I mean, we've had so many guys. Mike Flynn. I mean, there's been so many guys back in the early days. And we really just refined the process. I think Mark Acevedo, Andrew Raphael, Joey Cleary, those guys are scouts. You know, I want to shout out to the area scouts. All those guys, Q and Chaz and Patrick and Beans and really, you know, Terrell. I mean, all those guys that are part of that process, when the draft ends, those guys go to work. And they do just a great job, the organization, the communication with the coaches. We spend hours on those guys as evaluating those players and talking about their backgrounds and their mentalities. And you know, really just hoping to hit on one guy every year, you know. And this year we hit on three guys, really more than three guys, because we had some other guys that could have made it as well, really, honestly. Probably had five guys legitimately that we thought had a chance to be on this team that were undrafted this year. Only three guys had a chance to make it. But there were a couple other guys that played well enough to make the team as well. So it was a great year. You know, I didn't think we did a good job last year. I made that abundantly clear. But I think our guys really kind of rallied this year. And like I said, the scouts and coaches did a phenomenal job.
How surprising is it to have three undrafted guys on the team, especially when you consider how much comes back from last year and how many draft picks you guys had?
Yeah, we didn't expect it, for sure. I think these guys, just when you think about the games, I mean, you look at those guys and look at what they did in the production and the big plays and just the consistency. How could they not be on the team, right? And then, you know, honestly, teams call and ask about these guys, right, and ask them if I'd trade these players. Like, we could have traded these three guys. Teams were calling left and right, and that's kind of validation for what you think you might see on tape. And it just became abundantly clear that these were talented players that, you know, for whatever reason, were overlooked by the entire league, including us, and deserve to be on teams. It can help us. Can help us be our best.
Eric, he wasn't undrafted this year, but he was undrafted last year, or before Corey Bullitt. Did you expect him coming into camp to make a play for the roster, or did he surprise you?
Well, he's worked very hard over the last couple of years. He had a great offseason. I think he's a really coachable player. He's worked so hard in the offseason program, getting his body, you know, stronger and just quicker and everything else. He's a sponge. And I think he's worked extremely hard, and he put himself in this position. And, you know, I think it speaks to the development that these guys receive in the offseason program, being here with our strength coaches. I think Scott Elliott and all of his staff, they do a remarkable job with our guys, really put these guys in the best possible shape to be their very best. And I think he's a great example of that.
Eric, last year, you talked to us here at this point last year, you said you expected some hiccups with the offensive line, and obviously it probably over-delivered.
Hopefully they can continue to get better and better, and I think you will. I think they will. Thinking about Roger, just his second year now, he's going to be a better player. It's just the natural kind of progression. I think Voorhees, he sees the job. He did a great job. Very proud of him coming off that knee injury that he suffered and how he's responded. I think Daniel will play better and better and better and continue to improve. Of course, we've got, you know, Ronnie and Tyler. Those are kind of the linchpins. But look at that group as a whole, and we think the best is yet to come. And then looking at even, you know, some of the younger guys, we've seen a lot of growth and maturation throughout training camp. Some of these younger players, we feel really strong about those guys. And that's without Emery, who at some point, probably in the near future, is going to come out. And we invested a third-round pick on him. We're excited about him and what he brings to the table, and I think he's going to be a fun player to watch.
Eric, did you know? Said, you know, we've heard for years, you can't have too many corners. You can never have too many corners. You can never have too many corners. Jalen Armour Davis was the guy you let go. What went into that decision?
That was a tough one, you know, because Jalen's had a great camp. I think in the end, it's just kind of a nuanced, tough decision, right? You have these younger players that you probably have more control of long-term, roster-wise, contract-wise, and you have Jalen in the last year of his deal. But there's really a lot to go into it. It was a really tough, tough roster this year to make, and the reality of it is, looking at it, you know, I think, you know, Keon and you know, Lowry, those guys played well enough to be on the team. So, you know, it's just a tough thing. We agonized about it. You try to, you know, you look at all the different position groups, and is it better to keep seven corners and four safeties, 11 DBs, versus, say, you know, four D linemen or four inside linebackers or five receivers or whatever it might be. And so you just have to try and figure it out and balance it out and make decisions, and you have a crystal ball, and you look and you try to see what it might look like next year and the year after. But, you know, there's really no right or wrong answer. I mean, it's a puzzle, and, you know, we may feel really good about it today, and we may feel really bad about it next week. And also we might say next week, thank God we kept this guy at that position because we got injuries. And so until we really play the games, you're not really going to know. I think for me, just the one thing was, you're talking about, you know, a corner in the last year of his contract versus a corner that you have on your team who's going to be with you for a few more years.
Eric, yeah, along those lines, when you look at this roster, which is highly regarded around the league, what is the biggest question or two in your mind that's maybe not a concern but just kind of an unknown for you when you look at the roster going into week one, you know, first month of the season?
You know, I really kind of have questions about everything, just the nature of what I do. You know, I'm super excited, you know, to see our special teams, but we have some young guys, right, in pretty important positions. I'm excited to see Loop. I'm excited to see Wester. You know, important spots those guys are in, right? So you have a rookie punt returner. You got a rookie kicker. Both guys showed in the preseason that they're up to the task. We're very excited about both guys. In most cases, they performed great throughout, but they're still young players. And so, you know, that first game's a big deal, right? But I firmly believe they're the right guys to kind of handle those jobs.
Eric, to follow up on that, you made a decision to have Tyler be the only kicker on the roster about halfway through camp. What, at that time, made you feel like you guys were good moving forward with Tyler as the kicker, and what has he shown you since then?
It's a good question. I would say I listen to the coaches, right? I'm not a kicking guru by any stretch, right? I can scout a lot of other positions better than I can scout kickers. And so, you know, Chris Horton and Randy Brown and Coach Harbaugh, those guys felt that Tyler was ready. So that resonated with me and allowed us to bring in a player at a different position. I forget your second part of your question.
Oh, I mean, you were kind of saying it to the earlier question, but what has he shown you since?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, well, he's you know, he's resilient. He seems to come back from a miss. He's got a really, really strong leg. He works very hard. Just a good young prospect, you know, kind of what we're looking for, I think, at every position, having a growth mindset, coming to work every day with the intention of getting better, and being talented.
Did you know when you drafted Emory Jones that he had an injury issue, or is this surprised you?
No, we knew he had an injury issue, yeah. Yeah, he actually had surgery maybe the week after the combine.
Okay.
Eric, just on Emory, you mentioned the excitement level with him. Is there a possibility that you can see him contributing at a high level on the field this year?
I'd hope so. I mean, at some point he's going to get a chance to play this year. He'll be back this year, and he'll practice. He's going to be a physical guy. You know, the one thing I can tell you about Emory is he's a physical combative player. We saw that at the Senior Bowl. We saw it on tape. This guy loves to play. He kind of fits our mentality. I can't wait to get him out there in practice just to see what he looks like.
There's a lot of talent in the secondary. How excited were you to get Jair Alexander, and what's your expectation for that unit?
Excited, man. I mean, Jair, I think you guys saw him when he was out there, what he can bring to the table. We're being careful with him, for sure. But he's a talent. I think that group in general, just if you look across the board, you see those guys, what they can do. Excited. I mean, honestly, we were super excited about Kone and Longerbeam, too, before those guys got hurt. And if you put them into the equation, we'd had some really, really hard decisions to make. And so feel really good about where those guys are going to be next year coming back. But I think just across the board, if you look at the secondary, I mean, I think Chuck might have said it, it's a talented group. Saying that, we have very, very high expectations for that as well. And we want to hit the ground running, and we want to play fast, and we want to come out of the gates, and we want to live up to that reputation.
Eric, I'd say likely starting the season active. What can you say about where he's at with his rehab, and do you have an idea of when you can expect him to be back?
Yeah, you know, I don't like to talk about injuries much, but, you know, the fact that we didn't put him on IR, I think, speaks to when we expect him back. We think he'll be back at some point in the early part of the season. I think his attitude's great. I see him, spend time with him. Yeah, I think he'll be he's going to be a really, really big part of our team this year for sure.
Eric, come back to the secondary, to that point. You guys have four running backs, five inside backers. So that obviously squeezes the roster elsewhere a little bit, potentially. Does that kind of speak to the belief, I guess, in what you guys have at some of those other positions, particularly the secondary?
Yeah, you know, I think when you're looking at your roster, generally speaking, most teams will keep somewhere between 9 and 11 defensive backs. Certainly, you know, we have some talented players on offense too, and we're trying to create a balanced roster. You know, I've seen rosters where you may have, you know, potentially 27 players on one side of the ball and 23 on another side of the ball. I don't think that's exactly what you want. You'd really like to try and be as balanced as possible. So you certainly had some tough choices to make. You know, the fact that we kept four running backs, you know, feel like those guys have all, you know, they're proven what they did, what we've seen from those guys. I think specifically with Keaton and Rasheen, we saw what they could do this preseason. We certainly know Justice and Derek. And I think last year, as you guys remember, early in the season especially, we had a hard time finding three running backs to play. And the way that we run the football, we made a decision, I think, to keep those four backs because we're a physical running team. And it made sense to do that at this time. And when you do something like that, when you keep, you know, three tight ends and you have a fullback, then it forces you to probably go a little bit lighter to other positions. So it's challenging. And in the end, I think, you know, one of the things I've learned from Ozzy, and one of a million things, is really just keep the best players. That's what I try to do. I try not to get too caught up in, you've got to have this many players at this position and this many players at that position. All things being equal, you'd like to do that. You'd like to be balanced. But in the end, I think you want to just keep the best players. And if that means you're a little bit unbalanced, that's okay, because at some point it's probably going to take care of itself because guys are going to get hurt, and you're going to be glad you kept certain guys. I thought Bo did a great job. Again, I think it just speaks to the talent that we have back there. Love Bo. Love everything he does. Love what he brings. Hopefully we can keep him on the practice squad. Again, really, really tough, kind of nuanced decisions. Really challenging to make because I really admire Bo in many ways. Physically just a tough guy, a great mentality, all football, local kid. Hold him in very high regard. Like I said, we'd love to have him on the practice squad. That's one of our goals coming out of today, and we'll see what happens.
It seems like when you look at the offseason, and I mean, now Hamilton getting the extension, Derrick Henry, Bateman, I mean, does this go back to when you kind of were talking about trying to be proactive to keep these guys, not waiting until they hit, even get close to free agency?
I think so. You know, I sort of equate it to that old game we used to play, well, maybe some of us played. I don't think they play it anymore, but musical chairs, right? And, you know, we got a lot of really good players, and we're just trying to get as many guys signed as we can until we can't. That's really what it amounts to. It's, like I said, it's a good problem to have. I think the roster speaks for itself. But it is a challenge, and it does, you know, keep me awake at night. I feel really, really good about this team, but I want to feel as good about the 2027 team and the 2030 team as I feel about this team.
You look at your top two draft picks. Do you feel like those guys have both sort of demanded to be on the field right away with the way they've performed?
I would say. You know, I think they both had, I think you guys would probably agree, they both had good camps. But again, you know, until they play, it's hard to say, right? They got to play in real games. But yeah, they both excited, super excited about both players. Mentalities have been outstanding. The maturity, the way they carry themselves every day. They don't, to me, they don't feel like rookies. They feel like guys that have been here. And that really speaks well, I think, of what we should expect for those guys this year. And I think they're ready to play. It's just a matter of going out there and doing it.
Eric, you can do two more for Eric.
Without the deal for Lamar, would an impasse there prohibit you guys being able to lock down big money extensions for other guys, or
I don't think so, Jonas. I think like it's basically just comes down to, you know, who are those guys going to be, right? It's we have opportunities to sign more players, and we'll try and do that. It's just a matter of who can we get a deal done with, and at some point, we're probably going to have to kind of recalibrate and say we got to nail these draft picks. And we need these younger players to really be good because we can't sign every single guy back. And we're okay with that, you know. I mean, it's not – I'm not okay with it, but I understand it. You know, it's kind of like when I was just hired and we lost those four guys on defense, right? And I've talked about that. But losing, you know, Sizzle and Weddle and Zadarius and CJ, that was really tough, really tough. But that's the nature of this business and what we do. So we'll keep trying to sign as many guys as we can. I think Nick does a great job with me of explaining what our cap situation is going to look like this year, potentially next year, trying to forecast out so that we have a sense for what we can do, what we can't do, with the goal of really never having a true window that's opened or closed. I hate that idea of just a closed window. Being a GM on a closed window team gives me anxiety, and I don't want to be that GM.
You talked about Mao Kai starts in Mike Green, but just your overall impressions of this rookie class, even including the undrafted guys that you all kept, just, you know, I know it's early, but what's your impression of the group?
I mean, so far so good, Ryan. I mean, I'm optimistic, but I'm also cautious, again, because they haven't done it yet. So I think, generally speaking, these guys have shown in glimpses and practice what they can do and what they may become. I think we'll have contributors this year. So one of my goals is always to find at least two or three guys that can contribute right away. You know, I know everybody wants all of the guys to contribute right away, but certain guys just develop at different paces. And, again, it's one of the byproducts of having a strong team. Some guys really don't get the chance to contribute as soon as other guys might. So, but from what I've seen with these guys, I think our scouts did a great job and our coaches did a great job of lining guys up. I think we'll have some guys that contribute quickly and make plays right away in different ways. And there'll be other guys that, you know what, they may not do a lot this year, but then next year you'll see them and go, wow, that guy looks pretty good. And we can all think about guys like that in the past who kind of fit that definition. And that's just what we do. Right, so it's a little different from baseball. We don't have a minor league system, right? But we expect our guys to contribute right away because that's what our sport is. But in a way, some of our guys are in the minor leagues right now, and it might take them a couple of years before they make it to the big leagues.
All right, thanks, Eric.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, guys, we'll-